We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome into the LakersNation.com podcast. I am Trevor Lane. Special weekend edition of the show. It's game day. We've got Lakers Wolves tonight. Can the Lakers keep the good vibes rolling after they got that big win against the Milwaukee Bucks? Thank you, D'Angelo Russell, 44 points in that one. What a performance from him. Now another test tonight against the Wolves, and will the Lakers even be at, well, as close to 100% as they can be right now? Anthony Davis, LeBron James, their status still in question. We're going to get into that. Plus, take a look at the standings. I got to open up the mailbag as well and take a peek at the Lakers' strength of schedule from here on out, because things are changing just a little bit. Before I dive in, quick reminder, if you're over on the YouTube channel right now, make sure you subscribe, turn on those notifications. It's going to keep you up to date on everything going on with the playoff hunt and the offseason for the Lakers. So again, hit that subscribe button. If you wouldn't mind, check out our membership program as well. Pretty cool program. Have some new stuff coming out for channel members real soon. So click that join button and give that a look as well. All right, let's dive into it. So we actually got some good luck last night. Some good things happened around the NBA. We saw both the Suns and the Warriors lose their game. So let's take a peek at what that does in the standings. Now, the Lakers, unfortunately, still in the 9 seed. As of this moment in the 9 seed, but they now have a 1-game lead on the Golden State Warriors, which might matter. Again, you'd prefer to move up to the 7 or 8 seed. Hell, realistically, you'd prefer to move up to the 6 seed. But after losing that game to the Sacramento Kings the other day, that's going to be a pretty tall task to do. So the Lakers would ideally want to be in the 7 or 8 seed, which is where the play-in tournament is double elimination. You have two chances, basically, to punch your ticket to the playoffs if you're the 7 or 8. If you're the 9 or 10 seed, it's single elimination. You lose once and you're done. Now, if you are forced to play in the 9 or 10 seed, you would prefer to be the 9 and at least have that game be at home. The 10 seed, not only is it single elimination, but you're on the road. Not ideal. So the Lakers, they want to move up in the standings. They'd like to keep separation between themselves and the Golden State Warriors, and Golden State dropping their game to the San Antonio Spurs last night certainly helps the Lakers' cause. The Phoenix Suns also lost, dropping them below the play-in line for the time being. The Lakers potentially could catch up to the Suns. There's a 2.5-game gap between the two teams, but the Phoenix Suns have the most difficult schedule remaining in the NBA. Last night, they lost to those goons in green from Boston. I guess those guys kind of helped the Lakers out. In this case, the Mavericks currently sitting 1.5 games ahead of the Lakers. So it's not likely the Lakers are going to move up. Again, you can see it. The Mavs have won 2 games in a row. The Lakers need these teams to drop some games, and they have to win their own games. But it's not out of the question for the Lakers to move up. Once again, getting all the way to the 6th seed, that would be pretty tough. But the 7 or 8, maybe, especially if, I think this is, despite the fact that they are a 2.5-game lead, or have a 2.5-game lead over the Lakers, and the Mavs have just 1.5 games, I think the best shot at the Lakers to have it moving into the 7 or 8 seed, it's the Phoenix Suns dropping, and that's because of their schedule. Speaking of which, here's where we're at right now in terms of strength of schedule remaining. And I know if you're like me, your eyes probably instantly scan for the Lakers. There they are. This is over on Tankathon, which calculates the remaining strength of schedule. The Lakers currently have the 12th most difficult remaining strength of schedule. Now, if you've been paying attention over the last couple of weeks, they were at one point the 4th most difficult remaining strength of schedule. So we've been looking at this, the part of the schedule we're in right now. We've been talking about it all the way since August. We've been talking about how this is the most difficult stretch of the season, talking about right now in March. And so that's why with every game against these high quality teams, every game that passes, the Lakers' strength of schedule gets a little bit better because that game gets put in the rear view and the lighter schedule that comes after, say, March 16th becomes a bigger and bigger part of the season. And so we're now seeing the Lakers drop in terms of their remaining strength of schedule. They still have difficult games. Of course, tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves is not an easy game. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. You've got the Sacramento Kings again next week as well. You still have the Golden State Warriors. The Lakers still have plenty of tough matchups. You can see it right here on the screen. The Cavaliers, they've got the Bucks again. They have the Pelicans for a game. They get the 76ers. Maybe Joel Embiid will be back. Maybe he won't. We'll see how that looks. But the Lakers' schedule does get easier with each of these games that they are completing, and that's going to continue to be the case all the way through, again, the period that I was looking at through March 16th as really the difficult stretch in the Lakers schedule. But some good news again, Phoenix still has the most difficult schedule remaining in the NBA. They have another game left against Boston, have a game against the Thunder, two games against the Wolves, two games against the Clippers, two games against the Cavs. That's a lot of high quality opponents with the schedule now dwindling. Look, you can see the easy opponents left on the Suns schedule. There's slots for five. There's only three because there's not as many games left in the season. They have two games, though, against the Spurs, but the Spurs did just do us a favor and took out the Warriors last night. The Sacramento Kings have the seventh most difficult schedule remaining, so perhaps they could drop some games. Again, the Lakers need these teams to lose as many games as possible. Going down, this is where things don't look so great for the Lakers. You can see there, Dallas, 22nd most difficult schedule in the NBA remaining. That's not ideal. Golden State, the cakewalk schedule, 26th most difficult schedule in the NBA remaining. So again, that's why I have most likely, if the Lakers are going to move into the 7 or 8 seed, it's probably going to be Phoenix dropping with the most difficult schedule remaining rather than seeing like the Warriors fully completely falling out of it or the Dallas Mavericks dropping, the Lakers catching them. They've got such an easy schedule coming up. It's going to be much more difficult to catch them than I think the Phoenix Suns, even though there's a game gap between those two sides. So that's the way things stand currently. The Lakers do really have a chance here to move up, but they're going to have to take care of business. They're going to have to win games on their own, and then they're going to need some help from the teams around them. And you know what? I hear this from people every day when I put out my "This is what we're rooting for" post over on X, which again I put out there daily. This is what we're wanting to see happen in terms of the standings for that night's games. And I get people all the time who say, "Oh, the Lakers are so weak. They have to rely on other teams around them to do stuff." You know what? Even if the Lakers were the one seed and they had a team that was right behind them, we'd still be watching scoreboards around the NBA right now this time of year. That's the way it is. Unless you're locked into your spot right now and you've got a big gap between the team in front of you and the team behind you, well, you're scoreboard watching. You're paying attention to what everybody else is doing. This isn't just the Lakers being in the 9 seed. This is just that it's that time of year. Tis the season, and it's just math. If you want the Lakers to move up and everybody around them wins, they can't move. They're not going to move up. So the Lakers need to win their games. That's the most important piece, but they're going to need some teams around them to lose as well. All right, let's talk a little bit about tonight's game, and that is Lakers-Wolves. And it's kind of hard to get into this too deep because the Lakers, they issued their injury report last night, and both Anthony Davis and LeBron James were listed as questionable. Now, if you've been following the team this season, you would know that that's not out of the ordinary. In fact, LeBron James is listed as questionable for every game. Anthony Davis is usually either questionable or probable for every single game. That's just the injury designation that they're given. However, because LeBron actually missed last game against the Bucks dealing with that ankle injury, and Darvin Ham called it, quote, "severe soreness" that he was dealing with, I think it becomes a more realistic possibility that him being questionable is legit. He's questionable. We're not really sure if he's going to play. And then Anthony Davis suffered that injury against the Bucks. In fact, he himself called himself a decoy on the offensive end because it hurt so bad to raise his left arm. Remember, he took Giannis's elbow right into his shoulder and it was hurting pretty bad. So he is now questionable with that shoulder injury, and his previous designation didn't have to do with the shoulder. So it's a new injury for Anthony Davis, landing him as questionable for this game against the Wolves, and the pre-existing injury for LeBron, but one that he just missed a game for that's got him questionable for this one. So with those two guys up in the air, it's really hard to break down what this matchup's going to look like, because it's going to be very, very different if LeBron and AD are playing versus if they're not. One person that we know will not be playing is Karl Anthony Towns for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Unfortunately, injuring his meniscus, the Wolves are hoping to get him back before the playoffs get going, or maybe early on in their playoff stretch. So he will not be a go for the Minnesota Timberwolves, but this is a very good team. It's a very talented team. Anthony Edwards is a little bit banged up right now, but the Minnesota Timberwolves have had a phenomenal season. There's a reason why they are currently the number two seed. They are tied with the Denver Nuggets right now. They both have a 44-20 record. They've been great this season. They've been arguably the best defense in the NBA. They allow the lowest points per game for their opponents. So this is, even without Towns, this is no small task to defeat this Minnesota Timberwolves side. So expect the Lakers offense is, they're going to have to find a way to score. And that's really, when we look at this Lakers team, we look at what they are now. What's really remarkable is that it's the complete opposite of what they were last year. Even though they've got some similar players, this team now is a team that lives and dies with their offense. Defensively, they have not been good. They've been, in fact, since the All-Star break, they've been one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA. That has to change. That has to change. They are going nowhere unless they fix that and at least get to be to the point where they are respectable on the defensive end of the floor. But whether or not they win or lose a game, because we know defensively they could be okay, but winning and losing often comes down to their offense. And if you watch that last Bucks game, you know that was the case, because my goodness, it sure felt like an impossible task for them to get a stop in the fourth quarter. Every time the Bucks just kept coming down and scoring and scoring and scoring, the Lakers couldn't get stops. Anthony Davis mentioned that he was struggling to lift his arm and rebound the ball. That's certainly part of the reason why they struggled to get stops, but their defense has just been bad. So they are very reliant on their offense to get the job done. And when D'Angelo Russell shoots 9-for-12 from three, well, that'll work. You can do that. Their defense has to improve. But in this game against the Wolves, again, the Lakers, despite being last year a team that thrived on defense, they became an elite defensive team. It's their offense that's carrying the day for them right now. So the Lakers offense has got to find ways to score on a very, very stingy Wolves defense. You know, they're very familiar with D'Angelo Russell there in Minnesota. Have to imagine they're going to be blitzing him, doing everything they can to get the ball out of his hands and pressure him and make life miserable on D'Lo. So look for that. How do the Wolves handle D'Angelo Russell? And then AD. If Anthony Davis does play, if, and it is truly an if, he plays, can he be effective on the offensive end? Again, last game, he called himself a decoy in the fourth quarter because he couldn't really raise his left arm. You saw him, there was a possession where he wound up going to the free throw line, and he's grimacing shooting free throws because his shoulder hurts so bad. So can Anthony Davis be an offensive weapon for the Lakers in this game? Because if he can't, that's going to make things real tough on the Lakers. In terms of defending Anthony Edwards, Spencer Dinwiddie started for the Lakers last game in place of LeBron James. I would expect him to get some minutes on Edwards, but Edwards is, you know, Dinwiddie started so the Lakers would have somebody to defend Damian Lillard. Anthony Edwards is a bigger, stronger, more physical player. I would expect Cam Reddish to get some reps there on Anthony Edwards. I would also expect to see a few switch situations. Maybe we'll see Rui Hachimura switched onto him in some cases. This is one of those games where you're really missing Jared Vanderbilt, who would probably be your default defender on a guy like Edwards. I'm sure Austin Reeves will get some opportunities there as well. Maybe Max Christie, but the Lakers are going to have to send a lot of different looks at Edwards all night long if they're going to find a way to get the win. Again, this Wolves team, historically, we think of them as not very good. They're great. They're great this year. They are easily one of the best teams in the Western Conference. I don't have them in terms of power rankings ahead of the Denver Nuggets. I think the Nuggets are, despite not having the best point differential, despite not having quite as good of or as dominant of a record as maybe you would think they would, honestly, I think they've been coasting a bit. I have the Wolves and the Thunder in a lower tier compared to Denver, but I think the Wolves can give the Lakers a lot of challenges. They're a very good, very talented team, and tonight's game is not going to be an easy one. All eyes on Anthony Davis and LeBron James because, boy, if they don't have those guys, it is going to be an extremely tall task to get the win tonight against the Wolves. All right. Big game tonight. Hopefully the Lakers can find a way to get the win, but not going to be easy. Not going to be easy at all. We will be live over on Playback, playback.tv/LakersNation, as well as the Lakers Nation YouTube channel. You can hang out with us, watch the game with us. It's a good time. Sean Davis will be over there tonight, and then as well be on the post-game show. Right after the game, head over to the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, and we'll break down everything that happened, break it down with all of you. Speaking of which, let's open up the mailbag. Most of the mailbag is left over from last game. Let's get into some of your questions and comments that were coming in after the Lakers win against the Bucks. Matty James said, really love how D'Lo was chirping away at Beasley. Yeah, I like D'Lo's energy, his attitude in the game. I thought D'Angelo Russell was great, except I thought it was Beverly and not Beasley that he was really going at it with. Now, Malik Beasley had a few things to say before the game with Rui Hachimura. It's also possible that I missed a little bit of the jawing, but I saw D'Lo going back and forth with Patrick Beverly, which was great because Beverly did nothing. He couldn't stop Thrilo. Beverly definitely couldn't. Let's face it, he put up 44 points. Nobody was stopping D'Angelo Russell. Superstar D'Lo, star in your role, Spencer. Spencer Dinwiddie did indeed get the star in your role award. He came up with that big, big block to seal the win. Master Lock Ham, I actually thought Darvin Ham coached a pretty good game against Milwaukee. I want to give him credit when credit is due. Darwin said, D'Lo just made my day and my entire next week and spring break. Well, first of all, I hope you enjoy spring break. Have a great time with that. But we do appreciate the $50 super chat there. D'Lo made my day. You know what? It felt so good, that game, especially coming off of that just gut punch of a loss. I lost sleep over that game, the Sacramento Kings. It just did not sit well with me. I was frustrated with what we saw. So to get the uplifting win of beating a really good Bucks team, D'Lo hitting the game winner, and then getting a defensive stop, which, again, this team has been so bad at getting stops, to win the game by getting a stop, it felt great. It felt great. Lawrence, we're going to be a problem in the playoffs. What a win to start celebrating my birthday. Well, happy birthday, Lawrence. Devin said, good timeouts by Darvin. Yeah, I think Darvin Ham actually did a better job calling timeouts against the Bucks. And again, I don't want to be negative about Darvin. That's not my goal. That is not the story I want to tell. When we have to come on here and talk about Darvin Ham and him struggling coaching the team and the rotations are insane and he won't call a timeout and all that stuff, there is no part of me that wants to be saying those things. It's just the truth. It's just what's happening. What I want to be talking about, if I had my choice, it's about what a great coach Darvin Ham is and how the Lakers are winning and how he's putting them in position to succeed. I want to be saying all that stuff. So yeah, when we get to talk about Darvin Ham did a much better job utilizing his timeouts tonight. And in fact, he got asked a question before the game about his timeout usage and he defended his timeout usage in an answer that made sense if he actually was practicing what he was preaching. I won't go into the whole answer, but then he comes into the game and he was much more aggressive using his timeouts. Maybe just asking him to explain his timeout philosophy before the game gets it more in his head and then he uses more timeouts during the game. But I thought Darvin did a good job. Alfie, the Lakers are making quite a habit out of pulling out wins against big teams with our stars out and injured. Love the playback stream as always. Well, we really appreciate that, Alfie. Have a great time. We love doing the games over on Playback. It is a lot of fun. But yeah, the Lakers, I mean, they got the big win. You got the win over, you beat the top two teams in the East without LeBron, right? Now, against Boston, you did it without LeBron and AD. Against the Bucks, you did it without LeBron. That's really impressive. Ricky, If D'Lo opts out, it will be for the same money.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oh, will it? It will be for the same money. No, I think if D'Lo... If D'Angelo Russell, and I'm assuming he's going to opt out, $18.7 million is about what his deal is for next year. I mean, he's playing so well. I'd have to imagine he's going to get a raise off that. Now, I'm not saying you're going to pay him $30 million, $35 million, whatever, but I think he gets a raise off of that. So, yeah, and the Lakers, they have his bird rights, so they'll be in the driver's seat there, but he could sign with another team too. Razmik with the $10 super chat. We appreciate that. No question there. It's Fiddle said AD is a warrior, not the Golden State type for enduring that no call offensive foul. Oh, that the Giannis elbow. Yeah. I want D'Lo to stay a Laker so bad. I'm sorry, Spencer. You know, I've talked about this a little bit. D'Angelo Russell. It's there's something to a player being your guy, right? There's something to that when a player is your guy. And I know the Lakers traded D'Angelo Russell away, but they drafted him. We've seen him grow up a ton. And so there's something for it. It feels extra special to see D'Angelo Russell have success with the Lakers. There's something additional to that. And so I want him to be super successful with the Lakers. And I think he's been really good for this team this year. He's been great. And then AD, yeah, look, people have all the nicknames for AD. They call him soft, all this stuff. This guy battles. Did he show up against the Sacramento Kings? No. He still deserves criticism for that, no question. But big picture, over the course of the season, this is a guy who's been extremely tough. He's been very available, which has been a key for him. And you can see he wants to be out there with his team. David said, hypothetically, if you have to trade one of them, who do you trade between Austin Reeves and D'Lo? What a game. Go Lake Show. Thanks, Trev and team. Well, thank you, David. Appreciate that. And thank you for being a channel member for 4 months now. And you can see there on the screen, Mob of Mentality gifted a Lakers Nation membership as well. You have to trade one of them, Austin Reeves and D'Lo. So Austin's contract is so good. And it's going to have value for years that it's hard to say trade Austin. And that's why the Lakers were so loath to trade Austin at the trade deadline. Whereas D'Angelo Russell, with the player option on his contract, you had to explore trade. Like his deal pretty much requires that you explore trade options at the trade deadline because there is the chance that he could walk away and you could get nothing in exchange for him. But it would have come down to what's D'Lo's next contract. What does that look like? Does he get $120 million over 4 years? Something like that? Then maybe you say D'Lo, but I don't think it's a hot take at all to say D'Angelo Russell's been better than Austin Reeves this season, and that's not a knock on Austin Reeves. D'Lo's just been great. So I don't know for sure what the Lakers do there. Austin is on a fantastic contract. but he hasn't been as good as D'Lo. D'Lo's going to get paid this summer. Is he going to keep up this shooting into the future? Are we going to be confident with that? I sure hope he will. It's going to be a tough call for the Lakers this summer if they do decide they have to trade one of them. Aziz said, Trev Dog, appreciate everything you do. Well, thank you. Perhaps a hot take, but LeBron off the bench would lead that second unit. Spencer in the starting unit, control the first quarter deficit we find ourselves in. Aziz, I appreciate the comment. I really do. And you're thinking outside of the box there with LeBron with the second unit. I can tell you this, LeBron's not coming off the bench. Now, if you wanted to adjust the rotations a little bit, say LeBron plays the first 5 minutes of the first quarter, gets a quick two-minute break, and then he's out there with the bench unit to try to lead them. Okay, maybe you could sell me on that. I don't think LeBron would accept not starting, though. But not a bad idea to help them. I mean, right now, the Lakers bench and their lack of scoring, it's been a challenge for them. And that's why perhaps when and if, big if, Jared Vanderbilt comes back healthy, the Lakers may need to put him back into the starting lineup and bring Rui back off the bench. And that's not because Rui's not played well. I think Rui has done well, but you really need some extra scoring punch with the bench unit. That's becoming a bigger and bigger issue game by game. Jared Chalker, shame we can't beat Western Conference teams, but hey, I'll take this big win. Let's go Lake Show. D'Lo in his flow state. Yeah. If you had your choice, the Lakers had their choice, they would rather flip it, right? The last two games, beat Sacramento, lose to the Bucks, because you need to put losses on your Western Conference opponents. It's doubly impactful when you're putting a loss onto an opponent's record plus a win onto yours. Putting a loss on the Bucks record doesn't do anything for you, but you do put a win on your record. You want to win every game, but it's doubly important that you beat all the teams the Lakers have lost to, Golden State, Phoenix, Sacramento. It's doubly important to beat those teams. VI said, I'm tired of people hating on D'Lo. That man can play. Credit to Darvin Ham coaching them to this win. Reminds me of the Celtics game. Yeah, it did have kind of a familiar vibe with that Celtics game. And D'Angelo Russell, you know, for all the teams that said, specifically the Atlanta Hawks, that said, well, yeah, but he's got that player option for next year. We don't want to risk him picking up that player option. You should be praying that he picks up that player option. He's a bargain at $18.7 million for next season. Are you kidding? So D'Lo, though, hey, if teams really feel the way they told the Lakers they feel about D'Angelo Russell at the trade deadline, if they're that lukewarm on D'Angelo Russell, then maybe that just makes it all the easier for the Lakers to keep him this summer in free agency, if teams are really that out on him. Jay Dizzo, all these part-time Laker fans doubted D'Lo all year. Real fans been here. I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't say that anybody who doubted D'Angelo Russell isn't a real Laker fan. I think that for a lot of people, the playoffs of last season where he really struggled against Denver, it's hard to get that out of your mind. And it's fair when people say, you know, D'Lo's great, but he's got to prove it in the playoffs. Because that's where he struggled, and that's where he really came up short last year. They needed him to be big against Denver, and he got played off the floor. So I understand people being critical of D'Angelo Russell, but there's no denying that he's been great this season. He's been absolutely fantastic. I would have to hope that almost every D'Lo detractor will go away or will fade away if and when he performs in the postseason. I think it is fair to hold on to that and say, I'm not going to buy this is what D'Angelo Russell is now until we see him do it in the playoffs. I think that's fine. If he's doing this stuff in the playoffs and you still have people hating on him, then you know they're just unreasonable. And that's it. Kobe Legend, a channel member for 3 months. Thank you for being a channel member. Said, Trevor, start Spencer for defense, or should Wood start when he comes back against bigger teams in the West? Love the show. Thanks for the hard work. Lakers Nation for life. Well, thank you, Kobe Legend. We certainly appreciate that. As far as starting Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, it's funny because he was a guy who was not playing well for a while, and a lot of people were not thrilled with him. And now we're getting, you know, start Spencer questions. You could start Spencer Dinwiddie alongside D'Lo and bring Austin off the bench. I don't think Darvin Ham's going to make that change this late into the year. I don't think he's going to do that. I think you can accomplish the same thing by adjusting your rotations in certain ways, but that is part of the problem, right? With a D'Lo Austin backcourt, it's the defensive side of the ball. Dinwiddie, as great as he was defensively with that block on Damian Lillard, it's not like he's been this all-world defensive player. He's been okay there, and he made a great defensive play on Damian Lillard, but I wouldn't go so far as to switch up my starting lineup and anoint Spencer Dinwiddie this defensive stopper for the Lakers. I think they're going to use him that way against some guards, but that's just because of the Lakers guards. He's the most capable. It doesn't mean he's a great defensive player. It's not like he's on the same level as like a Drew Holiday or Alex Caruso or someone like that. He's not. And again, give him all the credit for making that defensive play against Damian Lillard. That was a phenomenal read. If you saw the quote where he was explaining his thought process on that play too, like he really was reading into what Damian Lillard was doing and his thought process about, okay, now I know in this moment, Dame's not going to be able to pump fake. And so I know the shot's going up. And so he was able to contest and all of that. And he knew that he could be the second jumper on it because he knew the pump fake wasn't coming. It was masterful. It was again, give him tons of credit. And he also credited D'Angelo Russell for calling out what Damian Lillard was gonna try to do in the huddle. And D'Lo, I think he's reading the game at a different level now. I think that's a big part of his success. But and he talked about having to sit out those three games when he bruised his tailbone and watch. And that he picked up on a lot of things during that stretch. And so that's allowed him to take it to another level. And I think his reads of the game have improved tremendously. But yeah, look, this is, I don't think we're at a point where you just start Spencer Dinwiddie and say, okay, this solves our guard defensive dilemma. Does it improve it? Yes. But I don't know if I'd be making that drastic of a move with him just yet. Tricksters, when Dame hit that three, I said ball game and we won. Yeah, Damian Lillard hit the three and won. I thought the game was over too. I thought that was it. Thought that was the game. And somehow the Lakers persevered and still got the win. Darwin said, oh, with a $100 super chat, just said LeBron James. Well, we appreciate the super chat and LeBron James indeed. Ree said, great game, but have to see it in the playoffs. A great game, D'Lo. And there you go. And I think that's a perfectly reasonable take. You can say D'Lo's been great, but to truly get on board, I need to see him do it in the postseason. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Deem said, latest on Gabe and the whole team for starring your role. You know, the last we heard about Gabe was maybe mid-March, maybe end of March. That was from Shams Charania. The Lakers, Darvin Ham said, we'll probably hear in about a week. So anytime now, we should be hearing on Jared Vanderbilt and Gabe Vincent about what their outlook is right now. We're running out of time for them to come back. So hopefully we get some good news soon. Nick Nightingale, the new channel member, welcome in to channel membership. Lester, appreciate the super chat. Matthew said, with D'Lo cooking, maybe trade Austin Reeves and Rui over the summer for an elite big. I don't know who that big would be. I know the Lakers will be active in trade talks this summer. Some names to watch, maybe Mikal Bridges, Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young. These are all guys to keep an eye on for the Lakers. But I do think they need a true physical big to put next to Anthony Davis. I don't know if I would, like, if an elite big falls in your lap, sure. But I think part of what makes Anthony Davis great is he has the versatility to play either the four or the five. The Lakers, for a couple of years now, haven't given him a roster that would allow him to play the four at all, though. So I would like to see that optionality brought back into the Lakers lineup and then bring in a true physical center. Now, again, sometimes you're going to be at your best, though, with Anthony Davis at the five, probably more often than not. So getting a truly elite big would probably mean committing to play Anthony Davis almost all the time at the four. And I don't know if the Lakers want to go that far just yet, especially since he's not shooting the three really anymore. Ryan, AD deserves his flowers. Love the usage of Cam. Yep. And again, that's credit to Darvin Ham. B said March 13th, Mavs versus Warriors. Who would you rather have losing? So I think that's going to go up to the wire. Let's see over the next couple of days here what the Mavs look like, what the Warriors look like, how many games they each win. Reality is the fact that one of them is going to lose probably helps the Lakers, but like, do the Mavs drop another game between now and then? Do the Warriors drop another game between now and then? That's going to be important when we're looking at that game and who we'd prefer to win. Both of them have, if one team had a difficult schedule, one team had an easy schedule, that might inform the decision there too, but both teams have easy schedules from here on out. So let's see what they do between now and then. And then I'll wait until the last minute to make a call on that. Buck said, stop saying Spencer is struggling. He gets three shots. I mean, he has been struggling. I don't think that's, look, he's done some good things defensively. There's no denying that, but his offensive game, his percentages and everything were down. He wasn't super productive. Now, I think that will level out at some point. I think that will come around. And maybe you're making the point that if he was getting 10 shots a night, he'd be getting into a rhythm quicker and something like that. Okay. And that's fair. But I do think relative to what we kind of hoped we would see out of Spencer Dinwiddie this season, he's been struggling. And again, he was great against the Bucks. So give him credit. Hooray. So the Lakers really showed something when they didn't back down, when they went down by five or six. I thought they were going to be deflated at that point. And then Rui came right back and hit a three and got them right back into it. So that was big. But yeah, credit to the Lakers for fighting all the way through and pulling off an improbable win. AD's injury is either fake or serious. We'll know soon. I don't think it's fake. I mean, you saw it on screen. He took a really tough shot from Giannis. Kiki, Masterlock, is LeBron and AD not having the same whistle as Giannis or Dylan Brooks? Let's go, Lake Show. Massive win. Yeah, it's hard to watch a Bucks game and watch the whistle Giannis is getting and not think, my God, how many free throws would LeBron be shooting if he got Giannis's whistle? He just does not. He doesn't. Giannis just parades to the free throw line. And that's not a knock on Giannis. He's a phenomenal player. It just really throws into contrast the way LeBron James is officiated. Speaking of LeBron, sure hope he can play tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Lakers. They badly will need him out there on the floor. But Lakers Nation, thank you guys for joining the show today. Little bonus Sunday episode here of the podcast. We do need to get that win tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Won't be easy, but hopefully the Lakers can get it done. Again, everybody, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Till next time, see ya, and stay safe.